Volatility, uncertainty, complexity. This is the work environment that is our reality. What will leaders need to know to be successful in the future? Who will they need to be to build team member commitment? How will they need to show up to create a motivating environment for their people? Welcome to the Sal Silvester on the Future of Leadership podcast, a dialogue about how leaders will need to adapt to be successful in a rapidly changing world. And now, please join your host and executive producer, Sal Silvester, to engage in the conversation about the future of leadership and how to transform people into confident leaders.
Hello and welcome to season 6 of Sal Silvester on the Future of Leadership. I am Sal Silvester, your host and founder and CEO of 512 Solutions. We're an executive coaching and leadership development firm based in Boulder, Colorado, helping organizations create healthy, aligned, and more human workplaces. So as you may know, this season is all about and has been all about creating healthy and aligned teams at the top, executive teams, senior leadership teams, and extended leadership teams. But we have a different format for you today. As you may know, we've spent the season interviewing people on everything related to teams, from executive loneliness to AI and how that's impacting teams to intercultural competence and more. Well, today I'm flying solo. And my intent for this conversation is really to do a few things. Number one, to share some of the trends that we've noticed as we've worked across our client base, both local and global teams. We wanted to share some of the capabilities that we think people need to be successful in our complex environment, this environment of work where there's so much complexity and unpredictability, if you will. We also wanted to kind of give you a few questions to reflect on, to think about the current state of your team and your culture. And then we'll identify a few strategies toward the end of our conversation today to help you and your team, your culture, move forward. So you can maybe think about this as a workshop, if you will, to share some of our latest thinking and capabilities around talent development, and hopefully a few things for you to reflect on as you walk away from this conversation. All right, so let's jump in. Maybe let's start high level. Part one, let's start with some trends and maybe some of the implications of those trends. So we've had the good fortune to work with a number of the world's most recognizable brands, Fortune 50, Fortune 100 companies, as well as some amazing growth stage tech companies. So I'll share some of our experiences and some of the trends that we're noticing in both sort of large organizations, and probably a little bit more specifically to tech, and some of our smaller to medium-sized business clients as well. So when I think about some of the trends that we've noticed with the larger companies that we're working with, I'd maybe bucket the first trend in terms of changing market conditions. So at a high level, if you look at economic numbers in the macro environment, those numbers would suggest a pretty rosy picture: low unemployment, strong consumer spending, among, you know, any number of other indicators. But with a lot of our large tech companies, there have been some pretty significant challenges over the last 12 to 18 months. Slowing growth, more competition that's come from companies that maybe have a nimbler operating model or disruptive solutions. We've seen a number of our clients restructuring their organizations in some aspects of the organizations. They're downsizing while investing in resources and talent around the artificial intelligence space. And we saw clients take a variety of different approaches in terms of how they've restructured their organization. Some clients took very aggressive approaches in 2022 and early 2023, moving pretty quickly to restructure, while others delayed their responses, hoping not to lay employees off, and are sort of lagging behind and maybe making some of those changes today. So a lot of changing market conditions that are impacting restructuring and the employee base. The second challenge that we're seeing with large organizations is really around navigating the complexity of the matrix organizational structure. We'll talk a bit about that later today, but we're finding that there's a need to integrate global leaders with regional leaders, or regional leaders not necessarily brought into or bought into, I should say, the global strategy to scale. And oftentimes, you know, as these challenges perpetuate, relationships get damaged. They're often disconnected. They're often rigid, and it makes change even more difficult than it already is and can be costly and slower to roll out. So, you know, navigating this complex matrix organizational structure is an ongoing challenge for most global organizations. The third big area that we would mention is maybe just kind of bucketed into post-COVID adjustments. So as you may know, there was a, you know, major uptick in hiring during COVID, surprisingly at first, but in some cases there was a lot of overhiring. And when we even look at the employment numbers now, many large organizations, even with restructuring that they've been through and some of the over hiring has contributed to that, they still have more employees than they did before COVID. But in some cases, organizations are being called on to do more with less. And what we're starting to notice is that team members deeper in an organization may not have the right skill set to take on expanded roles that the business needs from them. And many of our clients are still navigating the back to office policies. You know, we all experienced a different perspective as we were working from home. For me, I remember, you know, working in my home office and looking across through the doors of my office to the dining room that we'd cleared out for a classroom for our kids. And my son Eli was doing jumping jacks because he was in gym class, in a virtual gym class session. I mean, that memory is just seared into my mind. But we all had a different perspective as a result of COVID. And for many, it changed their priorities. And sometimes those priorities aren't aligned with what organizations and business leaders need in terms of people working from home or working in this hybrid environment, et cetera. The impact of all of these changes, frankly, has been new teams, new organizational structures, new leaders. And we know that anytime people go through change like that, they begin that maturity process all over again. You've got a new leader on a team, completely changes the dynamic. Or you've got a few new team members, it completely changes the dynamic. And we go back through that forming, storming, norming, and performing phase. And as you know, at the beginning of that phase, teams are highly dependent on a senior leader for direction and guidance. And oftentimes they're cautious and they're polite, trying to figure out where they fit in. And that second phase, that storming phase, look, it's an important phase. We don't necessarily want to skip the phase, but oftentimes there's overdependency on the leader to mediate issues and to mediate some of the uncertainties. There's discrepancies in roles and expectations. Frustrations start to emerge and dissatisfaction starts to emerge. If a team can successfully get through that, then we can start to get to that norming phase where the leader is really more facilitating and people are starting to take on more accountabilities and ownership in the dynamics between team members. Shared values, shared vision, norms start to get solidified. The first team concept starts to get into place and it starts driving us to more of that performing stage of the process. But with all of these organizational changes, there's an opportunity. I mean, you can think about it as a challenge or an opportunity, but the opportunity is that we're going through these forming, storming, norming, and performing phases all over again. Couple of trends that we're noticing with our growth stage tech clients. So companies that are, you know, growing radically fast from 100 to 1,000 people. Sometimes it's because they've hit product market fit or they've closed a series, you know, B or C round of funding and they've got some pretty good runway in place. But all the trends that I mentioned earlier apply to them, maybe just at a smaller scale. But what we started to notice as the capital markets began to close in 2022 and funding started to get harder, our growth stage clients had to shift to add more discipline and performance focus in their business. And I think what many of them realize is that culture isn't all about being nice and it's not all about being collaborative, but it's also about driving performance. And so as these companies have grown up, it's common to see tension start to rise between people who are on that founding team in the early stage of the business and maybe more professional managers and leaders who are coming in to try to create that sustainable growth and profitability. So those are some of the trends that we've noticed both in large and smaller companies. And I think maybe what's underlying all of those trends is this idea, this concept of unpredictability, right? That sort of underlies all of those trends. So if you think about some of the changes that have, you know, we've been incurring, we've been experiencing over the last 3, 4, 5 years, post-pandemic era, how many people here have been through a pandemic and know how to emerge from that? Or, you know, who's implemented AI in your current technology stack, right? A lot of these dynamics that are happening and challenges that we're facing are challenges that we've not been through before. In a predictable environment, people can think a certain way and be successful. They could rely on past experience. And if they don't have that past experience, they can easily find experts to find the answer, right? So most of the problems that we had to solve were very predictable. An event happens, you look for a similar event that's happened in the past, and then you figure out your course of action. But in an unpredictable environment, people have to think differently. Leaders have to think differently. The answer doesn't always exist, or at least not in the realm of like cause and effect. When this happens, I do that. Leaders have to start to see patterns in retrospect in order to come up with the solution. In other words, they have to experiment, learn from that, and begin to iterate. This concept of working and surviving and frankly thriving in an unpredictable environment really brings me to the second part of what I wanted to talk about today, which are the capabilities that people need to be successful. And the bottom line is that we've really identified 4 key areas where people need to learn how to be successful with this unpredictable and complex work environment that we find ourselves in. So the first is we have to be able to operate from a playbook, we have to be able to operate in this environment of experimentation. All right, it's exactly what I just mentioned. We have to become comfortable with tackling problems by experimenting first, getting comfortable with failing and learning, and then course correcting and pivoting. So if you think about what it takes to be able to do that, we have to get comfortable working with other people, engaging in productive conflict, throwing things out there and trying to figure out what the right course of action is, and then learning from those patterns, from those experiments, so that we can come up with an answer. And we have to be able to do that quickly. And when the answer isn't right, we have to be able to pivot quickly. So that's the first capability that I think people need to have, which is moving from operating from a playbook to operating from experimentation. The second piece that we're noticing in terms of capabilities that people need to have is the ability to work on multiple teams. And we think this is super interesting because, I mean, business is so complex today. We just can't solve problems by ourselves. You know, the Lone Ranger, the hero who we often like to worship, we have to be able to solve problems with other people. And we have to be able to embrace cross-functional, connected, and frankly, inclusive relationships. So what this takes oftentimes is we find ourselves on multiple teams. And it might be a team of people who are working on in a functional area of the business, but we might have dotted line responsibilities to someone else in the business or the organization. Oftentimes, there are competing priorities that start to emerge as we're working on multiple teams. So this takes learning and mastering the ability to build strong relationships on that side of, you know, sort of the people equation. There's nothing soft about this at all. When we see organizations getting bogged down, slowed down, stuck in the mud, it's usually related to how people are interacting with each other, their inability to communicate, connect, learn from each other, than it is really about any technical solution. So if we want to be successful, we have to be able to work on multiple teams simultaneously. And we have to be able to do that with other people. The third capability that we think people need to have is really around incorporating emergent strategies into their plans. So the plans that we create at the beginning of the year, those are important, but they also might become obsolete a quarter or 6 months into the year. So we have to be able to combine the ability to do some traditional strategic planning coupled with identification of emerging strategies and incorporating those pretty dynamically into how we move forward. And then finally, there has to be more intentionality about how to work in a hybrid environment. It's fairly easy to work in a traditional in-person environment. It's not bad to work in a virtual environment, but when we've got people working across those different channels, it's much more difficult. We need leaders and people who are much more intentional and have the relationship capability to work in that hybrid environment. So again, if we think about capabilities in order to work in an environment of experimentation, work on multiple teams, incorporating emergent strategies, being more intentional in a hybrid environment, these are all very human skills. They're all very human skills. There's a need for a deeper level of interpersonal agility. And we read just about every day on the front page of the Wall Street Journal or whatever magazine or podcast or resource that you like to refer to about AI, and AI will change everything about our work. And my personal belief is that as our world becomes more complex, our very nature will need to call upon our human skills more than ever. We'll need to call upon our social and emotional intelligence to navigate this complexity, the competing priorities, the conflict that comes about from working in a matrix organization, as an example. So those are some of the capabilities that we need. We think they're very human capabilities, the social and emotional intelligence that we're going to need to be successful in today's world, in the future world, are becoming more and more important. All right, so I wanted to, in part three today, to ask you a few questions to get you thinking about the current state of your team or of your culture. So if you buy into my perspective that these social and emotional skills are important, these relationship-based skills are important, maybe let's take a minute to assess, how's your team doing? And we're going to do this based on a model that we outlined in our human workplace needs model in my book, The Deeply Human Workplace. And the first layer of that model is about connection with people. And what we found in our research was that the quality of our relationships with people inside, outside of work is the number one factor in terms of determining our mental and physical well-being. So relationships matter at work. A couple of questions for you about your team and the environment in which you're working. Number one, do you feel like your team members generally care about you? Number two, your team members give you the benefit of the doubt, which, by the way, is a signature element of trust. Number three, what's the relationship look like with your manager? Are you getting the appropriate amount of support that you need to be successful? And number four, you have a positive climate that supports people doing their best work. So that's the first set of questions, which is really about trust. It's about connection. It's about relationships with people. The second set of questions that I would challenge you to think about is what we think about as certainty as a result of safety. It's the next rung up on our deeply human workplace needs model. And ultimately, this is about both physical safety and psychological safety. But in the context of a team, we think about psychological safety. And we did a great podcast with Amy Edmondson about a year and a half ago. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, take a listen to that. Amy is a researcher and a professor at Harvard Business School and has really put this term psychological safety on the map. And psychological safety is about the ability to take interpersonal risk without fear of being marginalized. So again, if you think about all the things we need to be able to do, experiment, productive conflict, work on multiple teams, incorporate emergent strategies, things like that, we need to have safety, psychological safety in our work environment. So a couple of key questions for you. Do you feel safe voicing your opinion on controversial topics? Does the team encourage a healthy exchange of ideas? Does your manager create an open environment of communication that invites people to exchange those ideas and challenge each other? So think about that as psychological safety. One of the topics Amy and I talked about on the podcast was diversity isn't an automatic strength. It's like latent potential on a team. If we don't have safety on a team, it's unlikely that we'll be able to appreciate the diverse perspectives that people bring to the team. All right. Tier number three, contributions are valued. This is the third rung up on our model. And by the way, you can get all of these questions in our episode show notes if you want to think about these questions in more depth and assess your team and culture and your work environment. So contributions are valued. One, do you feel like your voice is heard? Do others on the team feel like their voice is heard? Number two, do you have input into decisions that affect your area of work? And number three, do you feel recognized, valued for the work that you're performing? Most of the management gone wrong stories that we hear at work are typically connected to this deeply human workplace need, which is around, do I feel valued at work? All right. And the fourth level of questions that I'll ask you, clarity of the what and the how. So do you know what you need to do to be successful and how you have to be in the workplace to be successful? So this is really about, do you understand what's expected of you? Are you getting the feedback that you need from your peers, from your manager? Are the team's priorities clear? Are the organizational objectives clear? And do people act in alignment with organizational values and purpose? So that's the fourth rung up. And then the top two needs that we'll talk about here, challenge and growth, and then community impact, we call these needs of fulfillment, meaning they're higher level needs. And when we start solving for these types of needs in the workplace, we start creating a culture and environment that really results in more engaged and fulfilling work. So challenge and growth, are you given the opportunity to develop your skills? Do you feel like your job challenges you to learn and grow? Are you encouraged to improve how we do things? Do team members go direct to each other with honest feedback and challenge and accountability? Are team members encouraged to learn from failure? And then finally, final questions, set of questions that I would ask you. Again, you can get all these questions in our episode show notes here, is around impact, not just to the business, but beyond the business. And what we're learning, especially with some of the younger generations in our workplace, is that they want to make a bigger contribution to our work and to our world. And so the questions I have for you is, do you find a deep sense of purpose in your work? Are you inspired by your organizational vision? Is your work making a positive difference in our world? And do you take a stand for something that's meaningful? And, you know, even if your business is making widgets, part of what we find here is that it doesn't necessarily matter what the business does, but are you using your platform at work to make a positive difference in people's lives? I remember I had a client who was in the investing business and really wanted to make an impact on people's lives and thought at some point in the future he would be a professor. What did he like about being a professor? He liked helping people, teaching people, coaching people. And I really challenged him to think about how he could use his current platform to do all the things that he loved doing about being a professor. All right. So with some of those questions in mind and really thinking about the current state of your team and your culture, I want to share some strategies that we often talk about with our clients to help them move forward. And a couple of weeks ago, we finished some work with a pharmaceutical company and the CEO of the company looked over at us and said, anytime there's any sort of structural change or a change in leader, we should be doing team development work. And it's not that we can't get there on our own, but it just takes us too long to get there. And really, that is the purpose of this work. It's to help already successful leaders, growth-minded leaders and growth-minded teams accelerate their human performance at work in support of better business results. That's why we do this work. So maybe a few strategies as we start to, kind of pull this together today. Number one, start with yourself. Meaning, if you think about some of the capabilities I mentioned earlier, and the need to be able to move from that playbook to experimentation, and the ability to work on multiple teams, and the ability to incorporate both long-term planning and emergent strategies, and being more intentional in that hybrid environment. You really have to start with yourself. Number one, where are you strong in those areas? Number two, where are there some opportunities? Oftentimes our strengths, when overused, directly lead to our biggest limitations at work. Are you self-aware? Do you understand what your impact is on people, process, and the business? Do you understand the shadow that you leave behind when you're interacting with other people? These social and emotional skills are going to be absolutely critical. And if you're not doing the work on yourself, then, and if your capabilities aren't scaling at the same pace of the complexity in your business, you're going to be left behind. So this is really a deep personal journey of self-development. It's not really a formal training course, although that can be part of your solution, but this is really about examining and learning more about yourself, who you are, what you stand for, and your impact on others. The second piece, or the second solution, is maybe we kind of build up from ourselves, is understanding what other people need. As I mentioned earlier, my podcast with Amy Edmondson, a diverse team doesn't guarantee success. It's latent potential. But we have to develop an appreciation for what other people bring to the table, and an appreciation for a different set of ideas and opinions and ways of doing things. Different is just different. It's not right or wrong. And part of our work as we're growing as people, as human beings and leaders, is we have to start to be open-minded to how other people think. They might expand our comfort zone. They might expand our thinking, and to be able to adapt to what they need as well. Can't control what other people do, but we can control our reactions, our emotions, and how we might adapt to someone else's needs. The third piece that I would add here, we spend a lot of time with teams working on this, is adding clarity to the team. And so what do I mean by clarity? Sure, we need clarity in terms of organizational goals and team goals, but oftentimes what's missing on an executive team or a senior leadership team is clarity of purpose. Why does the team exist to begin with? And oftentimes when you ask people that, they will come up with different answers or have slightly different perspectives, but it's a really critical question to ask your team. Why do we exist? Because purpose should then drive what gets on your team's agenda and how you spend your time. So oftentimes teams will, you know, start thinking about how do we improve our meetings? We call it a meeting operating system, but how do we improve our meetings? Well, oftentimes they ask that question without answering the question, why do we exist as a team to begin with? And oftentimes they just sort of get into this cycle of making incremental changes on their agenda process and maybe a couple of meeting norms, and we're going to start and end on time. That's all good, but in order to really drive the right meeting operating system, we have to start by getting clear on our purpose. From there, we can identify the critical components of when and how we meet. What's the purpose of our meetings? Who should participate? What's the process in terms of how we meet? What's the payoff that will happen as a result? All of those critical P's, if you will, purpose, participants, process, payoff, those are critically important, but they can only be answered once we have clarity of what our team purpose is. All right. And then maybe a couple of comments on navigating the complexity of the matrix. As I mentioned, this is one of the trends that we're seeing that's just really a challenge with most teams. The matrix organizational structure is, you know, it's really designed to enable agility and responsiveness in this complex environment, this interconnected environment that we work in. But if you've worked in a matrix organizational structure, you know that it's, you know, it has its own unique set of challenges, if you will. it's not necessarily an easy environment to work in. There might be challenges around role ambiguity. There might be power struggles that happen between that function and maybe the operational component of the business. Communication overload sometimes between, you know, too much communication or not the right mix of communication. It can often overwhelm employees and managers that can just ultimately lead to decreases in productivity. Oftentimes it's difficult to evaluate people's performance. And, you know, we often talk about this first team concept where our loyalty should go to the leadership team that we're sitting on, not the functional area of the business that we're leading. But when we're working on multiple teams, we may actually have multiple first teams. So our thinking has to change here. Look, there's no easy solutions to the matrix environment, operating successfully in that environment. But a couple of things that we've noticed some of our clients working on. Number one, establish a broad set of stakeholder relationships before you need them. Focus on building that network. Build those relationships in advance. Try to build that robust support system so that when you need to collaborate, when you do have those competing priorities, there's a foundation to work from as a starting point. Number two, roles and responsibilities always seem to be a challenge, and really getting clear on job descriptions, project charters, delineating roles, understanding authority levels, who has decision-making rights. Those are often really key. A common tool I'm sure you've heard of is RACI, really getting clarity on responsible, accountable, who we should consult, who we need to inform. Just having a framework is often helpful to clarify those roles and responsibility. Focus on creating a culture of collaboration and trust. Right? We often focus on that at the functional level, but we don't think about that cross-functionally. So that really goes into the first tip around establishing those broad stakeholder relationships. Think about establishing those relationships between teams as well. A couple of other tips. Number one, establish some conflict resolution norms, really productive conflict norms. Sometimes when we work with teams and we're helping them have more direct, honest, respectful conversation with each other, that can look counterproductive or it can look dysfunctional to people who aren't used to that environment or people who are more comfortable working in an environment of artificial harmony. But really, the artificial harmony is the dysfunction. And we have to help teams, not just within their own functions, but between functions, get more and more comfortable with direct, honest, and respectful conversation. Look, those are really the tips. Working in a matrix organization, it's not easy, but those are some areas to think about. So thanks for joining me today. I just really wanted to share some of the trends that we're noticing as we're starting to come to the end of season six. We've got one more episode. We wanted to share some of those important tips. We wanted to share some of the capabilities that we're noticing people need. Again, their human skills, emotional and social intelligence is really emerging as some of the most critical skills for people to be successful. We wanted to give you a sense of some questions to assess the current state of your team, and then a few tips on how you can move your team and your culture forward. I hope this episode's been helpful. Go check out our episode notes page. We'll include the questions that I offered around our human workplace needs model, and you can assess the needs on your team. And I'd love to hear from you. What are some of the trends that you're noticing? What are the implications? What are the capabilities that you are noticing that people need in the workplace to be successful? All right. Thanks for joining me. Hey, we'd always love if you'd like the show and leave a comment. That's always helpful for people to be able to find us. And looking forward to connecting with you in a few more weeks for our final episode in season six. Thanks. I'm out. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Sal Silvestre on the Future of Leadership podcast. You can get session notes on our website at 512solutions.com. That's the numbers 512solutions.com. Please follow and like the podcast on iTunes or wherever you're tuning in. And if you want to learn more about how we can help transform your people into confident and action-oriented leaders, please check out our website at 512solutions.com. I look forward to continuing the conversation about the future of leadership. I'm out.